NBA star. No, I'm speaking. Yeah, it's alright. That's fine. Thank you. Hello? Both of you. Hello? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. We're going to do things just a little bit differently tonight, in case you hadn't already noticed. And we'll get a few little house cleaning things like what we're actually going to do out of the way so that everybody knows when it happens. I'm going to talk first, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to have communion. But the focus is, why are we here? I think you can see it up on the screen. Why are we here? So about the only house cleaning thing that we've got is some of you are not actually regular attenders of our church, and we have some first-time visitors even from out of town. I'm glad to have them. And the Common Presbyterian denomination practices open communion. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you may take communion in our house, in His house. Excuse me. Was there something else on that sheet, Tommy, that we could add? About the communion. Did you want to say something else? It's His table. Okay, just so you understand that. Now, we have kneeling benches up here, and if you want to come and take your communion kneeling, or if you want to come and kneel and pray, this is what I want to do tonight. Okay? I want you to feel comfortable with the kneeling benches and either receiving your communion, or if you feel like at the end of the service you want to pray, that's why they're out. I want us to be respectful of each other. We don't all worship the same. Wednesday night worship is altogether different than Sunday morning. If somebody is raising their hands or clapping or dancing. First of all, dancing. It's okay. King David danced. King David danced before God. It's okay. Alright. But we all need to feel comfortable in worship, and don't think that somebody beside you is not worshiping because they don't worship like you. Alright? So we're going to have a very open worship experience. And I'm getting out of the way first. Okay? Then we're really going to worship. Alright? There are some things and questions that I want to ask tonight. Why are we here? Are you here to be seen? Are you here to be with a friend? Are you here to listen to me? Are you here for the music? I'd like for you to examine your thoughts about this for a few minutes. And then we're going to get into something else. These are not the reasons why we should be here. Why are we even in this building? Because Jesus died on the cross. You think about that for a minute. There wouldn't be Christianity. Jesus didn't die on the cross. That's right. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, this would be a synagogue or a mosque, or maybe we'd be sitting cross-legged, which I can't do, in front of a Buddha statue. I don't know. But we wouldn't be here tonight if Jesus had to die on that cross. We are here for acceptance. Everybody, if you don't want to, feel like you're in the crowd, if you don't want to be accepted by the crowd, then you probably weren't here when Tommy Markham spoke, because that was one of his points of emphasis, is the fact how accepted that he felt in this place. We need to feel accepted, not just by God, not just as disciples of Christ, but by each other, the fellowship of believers. We might be here because we have questions. Questions about our faith. Questions about the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Questions about Susan's youth group. Questions. All kinds of questions. And then, right behind that, clicked him up. Seeking answers to those questions. You know, I got some little pieces of paper here. I've been making notes even as late as today. I got an email from Pam Camus about the purpose of your life, an interview with Rick Warren. And I'll share that in a minute. But I got inspired. How many of you have ever been inspired? Okay, there you go. There you go. I hope it wasn't a football game. I hope it wasn't at a basketball game or a concert. Some of those rock groups. Like Rush. My son loves Rush. Anybody know who that is? How about that? He said, I like Rush. I said, I'm in a rush all the time. No, that's not it, Dad. You can tell people about the Bible and that it has the answer that you're seeking for. You can invite them to come to church, but they must see the difference in the way you live your life. All of your witness comes to naught if other people don't see Jesus through you. So if you have questions, you're seeking answers to the questions. The person who tries to give you those questions, you will not accept his answers if you don't see that those answers have changed their life. Something just came to me today. Inspired. Are you here to be seen? Boy, howdy. Not by some cute girl or some cute boy. I hate to admit this probably, but I've seen the movie Meet the Parents. How many have seen that? You know what? I can see God up there or over there or wherever he is, and he's going. I see you. Because he does. He does. So if you're here to be seen, guess what? You see? Are you here to be with a friend? Because if you are, Jesus is here. Sometimes I have taken and brought a chair up front when I make a talk and invited Jesus come because he's there. Have you ever felt close enough to Jesus or God that if you were somewhere by yourself and you burped, did you say, excuse me, Lord? What do you say? Proverbs 18:24 says, he's a friend closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. Well, I hope you didn't come here just to listen to me. But I'm going to say what I feel like that God has called me to say. I've been a lot of places and led a lot of groups and led devotions. And there's three people right there that will tell you one of the most moving experiences we ever had was on the mountaintop in Guatemala on Easter Sunrise Service. Easter Sunrise Morning. One of the most, anything, have anything to do with me. Because we were there to worship God, and he was there with us. And
you come here to hear the music? Well, I'm going to pleasantly surprise you for the music on Wednesday night. I'm really going to pleasantly surprise. We were, the band was in here practicing a little bit before y'all finished eating, and they said, "Can you hear that buzz in the speakers?" And I said, "No, I do have some hearing problems." And I heard that. But if one of my reservations about the Wednesday night service was going to be loud music, because it actually hurts my ears. So, for those of you who haven't been here yet, the music is great and it's not loud. It doesn't have to be loud to be great. It's not definitely not like this. I've heard some of that. Rush has a song, can you believe this? Called 2131. Do you know why it's called 2131? Because it's 21 minutes and 31 seconds long. Get out of here. I love gospel music, but that's just a little bit long. 21 minutes and 31 seconds. Why are we here? In the old Confession of Faith of the Common Presbyterian Church had a catechism. I think they're going to bring that back. Is that right? The catechism is coming back into the Confession of Faith. And it is a list of things at the end of the Confession of Faith. Just inspirational things. And number one, this is number one. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's number one. I'm having the best time of my life. I am absolutely having the best time of my life. And I haven't had a raise in 8 years. I haven't worked either. So I guess that's pretty good. That's a pretty good swap out. Had a guy call me from work and said, "I've been retired a couple of years." And he said, "Man, if you're still here, we're getting 6 weeks vacation now." I said, 52. That's a no-brainer. So, but one of the reasons I retired early was to work for God. And I'm having a blast. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Hope I don't forget this one. 2 Kings 17:36. Here's where we're going. We're going to worship tonight. I want us to be prepared for worship. John, all this stuff is from the Bible. Y'all got one. John chapter 4 and verse. Actually, I'm going to read 23 and 24. This is where Jesus was at the well with the Samaritan woman, and it had a lot to do about, you know, the Samaritans worshiped in one place, and the Jews said you got to worship somewhere else, or you're not worshiping. Somebody made a mistake there, didn't they? So here's what Jesus said. Okay? "Believe me, woman. Believe me, people. A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and truth." So I'm going to read some Psalms. They're going to be up on the screen. We're going to do some scripture. And we're going to prepare ourselves to worship. All right? Because that's why we're here. The Lord is the one you must worship. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." What is holiness? Moses heard God speaking. I don't know if he actually saw God until he was up on the mountain with the Ten Commandments or not, but in the burning bush, God said, "You're on holy ground. Take your shoes off." So let's mentally take our shoes off tonight. Let's mentally prepare ourselves because we're on holy ground tonight. Okay? This is an important scripture. I know it is because look at here. Psalm 29:2 says the same thing. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Now, a lot of this stuff is from the Old Testament. It doesn't make any difference. And I'm going to tell you why in just a few minutes. Come, let us kneel down and worship. Kneeling benches here, if you feel led to kneel, come and kneel. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Psalm 100. Oh, when I was a kid, that was one of the ones we had to memorize. Now I got the NIV, and I don't hardly know what it says. No, it says almost the same thing, but I can't memorize it anymore. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Let's be happy. I got a Church of God friend, and that's what they call it when they worship. We got happy today. We got happy. I went to Millersville Assembly of God one time in the singing group. They sang for 30 minutes, and we sang for an hour and a half, and the preacher got up and preached for an hour and a half. Felt like I'd been there 30 minutes. Their church was made like this, with two aisles, two doors in the back. People got to run up the aisle, out, coming this door, making a big circle. One of the wives of the singing group was in with us, and she's looking for another door. She wants to get out. I was happy. I got happy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. We're going to sing a lot of joyful songs tonight. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Are you thankful for what He's done for you? I just can't tell you how blessed I am. I can't thank Him enough. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. And His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There's the part where the Old Testament doesn't make any difference. See, because it says His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's all of us. Yeah, please. Mute those things or whatever before we get started in the real part of the service. Pam Kamee sent me this. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. I want you to know that we are the most blessed country on the earth. I've been to several different places. And you kids are going to Puerto Rico next year. You will. You just wait. Okay? Your life is going to change. Rick Warren wrote Purpose Driven Life. That thing has sold 15 million copies. If he only got $1 for each copy, that's $15 million. And he had an interview, and he told in this interview what he's doing with that money. What are we doing with our bread? Let me tell you what Rich said. Four things. Number one, they did not change their lifestyle. They made no extravagant purchases. All this money. Number two, he stopped taking salary at his church. Number three, he set up foundations to plant churches, equip leaders, assist the poor, care for the sick, and for education. And this one blew me away. Number four. This blew me away. What would you do if you won the lottery? What would you do if you had 15, 20, 30 million dollars? You know what he did? He's been working for this church for 24 years. He went back and added up everything that he paid him in 24 years, and he gave it all back. He gave it all back. I'm sure he still got some left over. But that's just the start. That's just four things he's done with that money. But that's what he is. The purpose driven life is what he is. And what does it say? It's not about me. And I know it's not about me. don't push the button again. So what are we going to do tonight? We're going to shout. I don't care if you shout. There's going to be some of these songs that are going to, if they're going to be worth, we're going to sing. Shout and sing. I hope we do. Okay? We're going to thank Him. Think about the things in your life. Think about it. Thank Him. We're going to pray for you. I am. I hope you are too. I hope you pray. Go with the leading of the songs. I help pick out some of the songs, but the praise them. And so that'll pick the other ones too. Pick them for me. Because He loves you. How much does He love you? Remember what I said at the beginning? He wouldn't even be here. He didn't love us so much. So He sent Jesus to die for us. We wouldn't be in this place tonight if He hadn't loved us so much. Psalm 150. I love this psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in the sanctuary. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His compassion and grace. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with the flash of cymbals. Praise Him with the sound of sound. With everything. Breath. Everything has breath. Pray for me. If you want to, you lift your hands to God and clap to Him, okay? I appreciate that. Okay? Do that. Alright. Thank you. Not about me.
Tonight as we worship, we are going to sing several songs, and if any time you need to sit down, you may. But if you will stand with me. Thank you.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my day, I want to pray the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing.
How great is our God? We read about miracles in the Bible. Sunday morning at 10:15 service. Let me tell you what happened. We had a testimony. I'm going to try to relate it because I don't see Linda Moses here. We put a lady on the prayer list a week and a half ago. Her name was, if I'm not mistaken, her name is Martha McKinney. She had a very, very severe heart attack that put her in a coma. They did three, not one, not two, but three brain scans on this lady. No brainwave. We prayed, other churches prayed. Sunday morning, Linda said they were going to have to disconnect her from the machine. There was three brain scans, no brainwave. Friday, she started breathing over the machine, which means that she was breathing on her own. The machine wasn't really breathing for her. And they said, this changes everything. Now she's going to have to go to a nursing home. She's going to be a vegetable. But she's breathing on her own, so even when we disconnect the machine, she's going to die. But she's not going to die. She's not going to die. She's going to breathe on her own. So Saturday, they disconnected the machine. She breathed on her own. She opened her eyes and looked at her husband and said, can we go home now? No brainwaves, the doctor said. They called every one of the doctors and nurses into that room to see this lady because they could not believe it. Let's sing.
Great is the Lord, He's holy and just. Our Father, we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He's faithful and true. For His mercy, He proves His love. Great is the Lord, and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord, and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, and worthy of your voice. Holy for your voice.
That is great. We have a God of wonders.
Lord of all creation, the water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord. Thank you. wonderful God, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Oh Lord, oh God, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Oh Lord, I praise your name. Oh Lord, let me magnify your name.
That you give us. You're so wonderful that we can't even comprehend it. Tonight, we want to praise your name, and we hope that this has been a blessing unto you, that our voices have made a joyful noise to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for unanswered prayers. We thank you for loving us. We offer this to you tonight. As our tithe. And may we give even more than what you would require of us. May this become an offering to you. Amen. To him who sits on the throne.
Just keep playing.
This is the perfect place to put this. One of the things that Rick Warren said after he had talked about what he had given back, it is so liberating to serve God for free, just to serve Him for free.
And glory and honor and power forever. heart's desire. And I love you dearly, dearly, Lord. You're my meditation and my consolation. And I love you dearly, dearly,
today.